How do you do? It looks like this coming Sunday out west, we have a battle of two teams, one and two, as we bring you the latest and always greatest edition of Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by your friends at WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. You got the main guys in here. We got the afternoon show's Andy Hart. He's at Jumbo Hart. And, of course, usually found on the Six Rings postgame show or at a brewery near you, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. On today's action-packed, filled tighter than the belly of the Mayflower preview of Patriots at 49ers, we're going to offer our Six Ring style preview and prediction. Then we go all the way out west. Actually, it was at a studio in central New York where I had a chance to talk with Al Sacco from our sister podcast. No, Andy, behave yourself. Al Sacco.
Don't put a B before his name.
Football fan and craft beer enthusiast from the 49ers Web Zone podcast. So we could go behind enemy lines and see what they're saying in the Bay Area about your beloved New England Patriots. Two teams with the same record, but far different outlooks on the season and possibly this Sunday as well. And then we'll wrap up our action-packed preview as our pal Megan Ottolini gives us On the Beat from Gillette Stadium. This week, she had a chance to talk all things Patriots with Mass Live's Mark Daniels. All right, Andy, here we are a couple days from kickoff. This is a big one on Sunday. I've heard you on the afternoon show this week talking about what would represent a victory for the Patriots on Sunday, because I think by and large, and reasonably so, most people don't think an actual victory will be at hand for our beloved Patriots. So let's just start there. What do we think Sunday's going to look like? And what's the best, save for a shocking upset, what is the best possible outcome Sunday?
Compete, bounce back game, come out and play your style of football, which is run the football, tackle on defense. That would probably be, I probably buried the lead there. You can't have the embarrassment you had last week defensively. And I do think that was a borderline embarrassment for a unit that a lot of you people told me was going to win games on its own. And it has not so far.
2 minutes in with the first you people. Yeah, very well.
I felt good. I'd get it out of the way quickly in this one.
Appreciate that.
You know, that tackling and lack of energy was borderline embarrassing, I thought, against the Jets. And I didn't really think I'd see that, regardless of whether you lost Juwan Bentley or, you know, those types of things. Bumped up Kyle Duggar to captaincy this week, which I think is an obvious call. We talked about him, I think, when captains were announced. Like, he's probably a guy that was in the running, and he was, if you believe Gerard Mayo, that the voting was close and they decided to elevate him to a bigger leadership role. But just compete, because this is a tough spot. Again, the 49ers, yeah, they're banged up, but they're still a good football team. You're still flying across the country. You're still out of your routine, flying out on a Friday, which for a relatively young football team that's setting a culture, new coaching staff, new coaches that haven't done that before, all of them, with this team,
And it is officially an LAF. It's a long-ass flight.
Right. So, you know, there's some challenges, but you need to bounce back. You can't. You're trending in the wrong direction. If we take the three games in totality, you had this surprise upset. Then you kind of kicked one away. You should have won. The defense couldn't do its job. The offense couldn't do its job. Special teams couldn't do their job. And then the next week, you know, 4 days later, you laid an egg on the road. You can't lay an egg. You need to, if you're who you think you are, a run the football, physical defense football team, run the football, play physical defense, and stay within the 10 points that everybody thinks you're going to lose by.
Yeah, I heard you spin that take the other day on the radio that competing alone would make for, I won't say a moral victory, but the closest thing to a legitimate victory. And then I heard you and Arcand as well going into the idea of, okay, so is there actually a chance for them to pull off the upset? And if so, how? I think what we're going to find, and you'll hear me chat about this later on with Al Sacco on the 49ers Web Zone podcast, I think he asked a pretty salient question that I think a lot of us are wondering right now. Are the Patriots closer to the team that got waxed by three touchdowns and it really didn't feel that close because the Jets just absolutely cleaned their clocks on Thursday Night Football? Or are they closer to the team, maybe not so much that upset the Bengals week one, because we found out the Bengals are off to a real cruddy start, but rather the team that competed with the Seahawks and they were this close to making a play, to making some history, or at least making something happen. And I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. that there are going to be some weeks where they're just not going to have the talent to keep up with certain teams. And there are also going to be some weeks, like they may get blown out in a few weeks by the Texans at home, but they may also like surprise the Rams and keep up with the Dolphins because the Dolphins are banged up. And in this very wonky season where everybody and their mother and their brother and their father and their son and their daughter is trying to come up with a theory or reason as to why the gameplay is so inconsistent, if it's sometimes awkward and unpleasant, I think it's because a lot of teams are kind of like the Patriots. They're okay-ish one week and they're kind of cruddy the next.
But we need to get back to, you know, my catchphrase for youth coaching, energy, effort, and attitude. We can't be questioning energy, effort, and attitude on the Six Rings postgame show. We can question talent because they are not as talented as the San Francisco 49ers. I don't care who does or does not play for San Francisco. The Patriots are not as talented as that team. But if you bring your energy, effort, and attitude against a banged up team that maybe they overlook you, I actually think that can go both ways, though. I think there's a chance this is bad for the Patriots, that they're banged up, in that the 49ers might actually be like, well, we can't just cruise out here. We don't have McCaffrey. We don't have Debo. We don't, you know, like we're banged up. We got to take this seriously or we could get embarrassed, because this would be an embarrassing loss for them at home. So
well, it's also embarrassing to have a 2-touchdown lead on the Rams and then just go to sleep at the wheel.
But at least that's a division game, and the Rams are a not sure what they're going to be kind of team. Yeah, they're banged up without their receivers, but, you know, I think some people had higher hopes for them coming into the season.
They're plucky.
The Patriots are sucky. So that wasn't nice. I don't mean to be rude.
No, but from plucky to sucky might actually.
So for the 49ers, this would be a really, really bad loss, and the injuries might make them take it a little more seriously. But from a Patriots perspective, just don't let me question you. I don't want to hear players saying, I don't know what it was, but we just didn't bring the energy, or bitching about their catches, or any me type things. I want to hear, we went out there and we gave it our best, and in the end, we just didn't make enough plays. I want like that old school Belichickian kind of loss. And now, are they capable of that? I don't know. I really don't, because everybody wants to tell me the 49ers are banged up. Are the Patriots healthy?
No, as a matter of fact, on recent review of the latest injury report, the New England Patriots will be starting a different left tackle, possibly for the third time this season. Caden Wallace is limited with a knee, and also was limited by being a rookie right tackle that shouldn't be playing left tackle in the NFL
limited
just yet.
Talent.
Vidarian Blows, and he's also been out. Oh, no, no, I borrowed. I
We're
learned
not
it from
doing
you.
That.
I learned it from you, Dad.
Yeah, but I stopped doing it. I feel bad. He's a nice man.
He might. Okay. But I mean, there's lots of nice people that in this world that just aren't terribly good at their.
I'm just not one of them.
He may be better. And now you're making me one too, you son of a. So All right. So anyway, Vidarian Lowe out. He is still not practicing. Now, City So is a limited participant. He might be like, the line is going to be different. Again, you can't get a consistent five guys on the line. David Andrews is resting. I know Layden Robinson's been out there, but he's probably nursing something. And Mike Onwenu hasn't looked like the $20 million man he was supposed to be this year as well. So you got that whole issue to deal with. Now, Hargrave is dinged up, and he may not even play again for the 49ers. But Bosa is a force of nature as well. And Fred Warner is one of the greatest defensive players in this NFL, if not the recent NFL as well. You can run on the 49ers, Andy. They're giving up 4.5 yards a carry as well, which means the Pats shouldn't worry about trying to appease the wants and whims of the DeMario Douglases and other teams when you know you can't pass against the Jets and you should have kept running against them as well. But also, as many people have pointed out in our chat box as we come to you live across the Fitzy, GFY, and WEEI socials on this latest Six Rings pod, Ramondre Stevenson has put the ball on the carpet in 3 straight games. He gave it up once. That one time he gave it up, he literally gave it up when someone pulled it from his hands. He may be getting gassed by being the offense. So, you know, this 49ers team, yeah, they're banged up. Kittle's probably going to be back. Trent Williams was on the injury report with an illness, but I bet you he'll be out there on Sunday. So is it the best version of the 49ers? No. Are they angry and will they be more focused than usual? Probably. But the Pats have 10 days rest and a point to prove as well, which is what makes me think this is going to be way more of a dogfight than Brock Purdy to Juwan Jennings for another Niners touchdown.
A dogfight, or they're a dog in a fight? Because that's the question. They're a heavy underdog here. And I guess my point would be, If there's going to be a banged up football team or two banged up football teams, I'd rather be the one that started with more talent. I'd rather be the one that has significantly more talent before I get banged up. And I think that's the 49ers. And you mentioned the Stevenson thing. I think one thing that was really interesting from Alex Van Pelt this week, in regards to the fumbling.
Yep.
When defensive players smell blood in the water, when you have a fumbling reputation, they will be going for the football. Now, that can be a double-edged sword. If they start worrying more about going for the football, that opens up the ability for Ramondre Stevenson to break arm tackles and maybe have big plays. Or if they start punching and clawing at the football at all times, it could open up Ramondre Stevenson to continue to have a fumbling problem. And that might be the biggest concern on the team right now, because if you can't run Ramondre Stevenson consistently, you cannot win. That is the identity of this football team. They need Ramondre Stevenson. If they're going to stay close or win this game, they need Ramondre Stevenson to have 20-plus carries for 100-plus yards. I do not see, other than like crazy turnover day for the 49ers, like, oh my God, they turned it over four times. Other than that, any game plan for an upset has to include Ramondre Stevenson carrying the football a lot of times for a lot of yards. And if he fumbles and gives it away, anything like that, well, then you're porked in the Bay Area.
Yeah. I keep... You know, I've gone over it here on the pod and on WEEI.com and beyond as well about how the pressure rates are unsustainable, how Jacoby Brissett, who told us this week, oh, he's just going to keep getting back up. Like, you can tell us that you're going to do that, but eventually you're not going to be able to. Correct. God forbid it's your head or a hip or a leg or a knee
or just or his chest. Continuous pounding. Like, they're going to start to, like, pile on top of each other, the injuries, and like you're already banged up your ribs, and then you take another rib shot, and you know that one shot wouldn't knock you out, but the compounding nature of it. No, I'm wearing C4 red.
He's repping for his brand, but as but at the same time, they do happen to be 49ers colors, whereas I am lamenting the end of the Red Sox season here with my
good news is it might be lucky red soon. We're working on something behind the scenes.
Oh, isn't that nice? Good question, Andy. Actually, I read this in Chris Price's excellent mailbag column at the Boston Globe this week. And now someone else comes into our chat and asks the very same question. It's good to see that the fans across multiple mediums are hive mind in their curiosity. Delusional Patriots fan wonders, do we need a fullback?
I wouldn't mind seeing it, honestly. You know, well, first of all, I know you,
yes.
But if you're going to be a true ground and pound team the way they've been, I wouldn't mind seeing a fullback. Now, they choose to do it more with tight ends and motions and some of that stuff, the extra blocker as an extra tight end tackle type. Although with all the injuries on the line, I don't know exactly how that manifests itself or continues to be successful. I would like to see a fullback. You know me. I still want Cole Strange to transition to fullback when he comes back from injury. I think maybe he could be a really good fullback. But yeah, I wouldn't hate seeing it because I also feel like it represents something, just like in a way the extra tackle tight end does. It's like, yeah, we're going to run the ball and we're just going to run it down your throat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a fullback. I think there is something to that. But I don't know that they have one right now. I don't know where you find one. You know, James Devlins don't just grow on trees.
And you don't normally find 6'4", 300-pound redheads that are willing to move into the fullback role as well. Didn't who was it? Bill Murray, the guy, the defensive lineman from William and Mary. He came up and tried to play fullback. He was all over the place. Tried to play O-line, tried to play fullback, did a little bit of everything as well. Never panned out, but I at least like the creativity or the positional flexibility offered by these players. So it does look like George Kittle is trending towards playing this Sunday. And good comment from Jeff Stenberg. Fullback, we need a left tackle, left guard, right tackle, and several receivers. But yeah, sure, fullback will solve the problem.
That's a good comment.
You ain't wrong, Jeff. You ain't wrong, my man. Which actually ties into what Greg Donahue said in our chat earlier. The Red Sox at least have a young team. I like them going forward. I feel like the Red Sox now, with some spend this offseason and a few of the call-ups they're going to make from the farm, are going to be where the Patriots hope they'll be in 2 years. Like, this doesn't seem like a next year fix. This seems like at least a 2 year.
No. Oh, hell no. I'm not giving up. I am not giving up on the Indy Hart 2 year plan. If you have a top five pick and you draft the right tackle and you go get the right wide receiver, whether that's T. Higgins or whoever else with your $140 million to spend, and then supplement it with a nice second round pick who might be a linebacker or a pass rusher or a second corner, like, absolutely not. If you if Elliott Wolf does his job, if Elliott Wolf utilizes the resources that he's going to have, which is probably a top five pick and the most cap space in football, there is absolutely I forgot to add one more thing. And if Drake May is as good as I think he is, I probably should have started with that. If Drake May is as good as I think he is, and then they nail the draft pick, and then they do well in free agency, I do not discount the Gerard Mayo could be a favorite for coach of the year in 2025. I'm telling you that now, because if they, if they go like 1-16, 2-15, 3-14 this year, and then Elliott Wolf nails his job in the offseason, they could be a worst to first kind of team, not first, worst to second and wild card kind of team next year. And if they do that, if they go from 2 or 3 wins to 10 or 11 wins, then Gerard Mayo will absolutely be the coach of the year in 2025. I'm not ruling this out. I don't know why I have to be the optimistic one on this podcast. If you're not optimistic, then you're useless to me.
One of the reasons why you have to be the optimistic one is
Clyde.
That's my new go-to.
I thought you had done something that ended the podcast and I was going to be pissed.
Oh, all right. Things got too negative. All right, you Schadenfreuders, this one's for you.
Jones pump fake, ball knocked loose, scooped up. Eventually fumbled and then scooped up. That's Casey Tuhill, a guy who's...
All right, I know that makes all of you people smile, you filthy animals. Actually, I was going to say about the whole May thing, I feel like this week the mixed messaging continued to get more mixed than it has in some time. Of course, Gerard Mayo wouldn't be doing his job unless he fielded several questions about when Drake May may actually play, how much, and could this week be the week? We continue to think it's going to be week 5 because all the stars align for all the right reasons. Yep. But maybe Jacoby Brissett doesn't even make it out of the Bay Area this week. So this was Mayo responding to a question from Phil Perry just a couple days back on the very subject.
A little bit earlier, is your willingness to stick with the quarterback or the way you have it right now, how much of that is due to what you've seen from Drake in practice? How has he looked in practice?
He's looked good in practice. But once again, it's just practice. And you want to get a guy like that, obviously, on the football field. But at this current time, I don't want to go back to that answer, but at this current time, we're just not looking to add any pieces at that spot.
Still 70-30 practice-wise, Chris?
Yeah, still the same.
Okay, so the reps are 70-30. When Brissett is well-versed enough in that rep, they allow May to take it, and then sometimes he gets a few extras in there as well. To me, the telling line is you always want to get someone out there like that, but at this time, it's just he doesn't give us the best chance, or it's just not, we're not looking to add at the position. Is he really part of that we, or does he, like, is he internally, emotionally recusing himself from it? He's just parroting the company line, because the more I hear in his post-game reactions and little nuggets and bites like this, the more I think he wants to just rip the Band-Aid off and get out there and start the process, because Jacoby Brissett is not, like, he's inextricably tied, just like Elliott Wolf is to Drake May. And the longer they just keep doing this little, you know, dick and pony show out there with Jacoby Brissett and holding the offense back and trying to be turnover averse, the longer we're going to see disinterest in people tuning out by halftime, because it's not a particularly fun brand of football to watch. There's no floor and ceiling. It's just
meh. It's meh.
Right.
Yeah, I think that is the general consensus, and I tend to agree with it, that it feels like Elliott Wolf and Alex Van Pelt are probably the slow play people. Elliott Wolf from the Packer way, Alex Van Pelt as just a quarterback whisperer and knows how hard the job is and developing quarterbacks and all that. Mm-hmm. And I do think Gerard has been kind of honest with his energy and answers about May, and he was the better player and blah, blah, blah. And I think right now it feels like maybe he's kind of like, you know, the father who generally lets the mother do the disciplining. And then every once in a while says, you know what? I've had enough. I'm done. And I feel like that's coming from Gerard Mayo, because I go back to a quote, and you may recall this in late August. I'd like to think as the head coach, I decide who plays. Mm-hmm. He said, And I immediately said, excuse me, you'd like to think so you're not sure? And I just believe at some point, Jerod Mayo has to play his card. And you go, whoa, what card are you talking about, Andy? I'm getting uncomfortable. No, not that card. Not that card at all. The secret card. I'll call it the trip to Israel card. I think you talk to Robert Kraft and say, if you want me to be the head coach and you think I'm a great leader of men and reader of men and builders of cultures and all these things, we need to play Drake May. I'm like using my veto power. I know you trust Elliot and you trust Alex and we have a collaborative thing here, but I'm the HC of the NEP, GD, and I need to do it now. And I just wonder, does it have to come to that? Will it come to that? I think he's willing to do it because I go back to that quote. As the head coach, I'd like to think I decide who plays. And I think he's going to play that card soon and say, okay, you got your month. We took care of him for a month. We let him practice and we didn't throw him to the wolves. Now he's going to face a backup quarterback in the Miami Dolphins at home against Gillette Stadium. Mm-hmm. Like a team.
They do not have the ferocious pass rush the Niners do.
Nope. They don't score points. Nope. He's not going to be in a shootout. They score less points than you do through three games. This is a time I'm putting my big, you know what, on the table. Drake.
Yeah, unzip it and flip it. Let's go. Let's see it. That's what I am. Couldn't be with you more.
We need an O-line. Greg Donahue. Put that one on the screen. We need an O-line. Sorry.
Everyone keeps saying it. That's the party line.
You're not getting an O-line this year. So if you need an O-line and that's your barometer for play for May, then you're not playing Drake May this year. And there's no way in hell you can go this whole year without playing Drake May. I'm sorry. No. You can't. Fair to him or not, screw it. He's got to play.
Yeah, I don't want the Jordan Love principle. I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to hear about Mahomes or more. This is our reality right now, and I want to start getting greater and further glimpses of what that future and the ceiling may be, and I'm willing to live on the floor. If he goes out and throws for 247 yards, one touchdown, three picks and a fumble, that's fine. What happened?
That hurts. Three picks and a fumble, four turnovers.
That's all right. Listen, it may happen. That's okay. At least
get more like two touchdowns, two picks. Mm-hmm. But you go 1-4. Did you say one touchdown?
Four total turns? It's going to happen behind this line. It's not his fault. Again, you have to sit him down, Goodwill Hunting style, and just be like, "It's not your fault, Drake. It's not your fault."
No, some of it's your fault.
Well, some of it is, just like with Jacoby Brissett. Like, he hasn't turned the ball over yet. Great. He also holds on to the ball long enough to make ramen.
No, he did. He threw an interception in Cincinnati. Just because it doesn't end up in the stat sheet, thanks to Hunter Henry, that was a pick.
That's like Ramondre's fumbled three times. Nah, it says once. No, we've all seen it. He's fumbled three times.
Right. It's like PFF. They don't do half sacks. So if you get a half sack, they give you a full sack. And you're like, wait a minute. I get a full sack? I only got a half sack.
All right. We got a lot more podcasts coming at you. We got our chat with our friends at the 49ers Web Zone, Mego talking to Mark Daniels and more. Time for the predictions. You people in the chat box, go ahead and throw yours up there. Andy and I will go first. This week, we're going to change it up, Andy. I'm going to give you mine first. Right now, it's a 40.5-point over-under, and the Niners, trending a little healthier than we anticipated, are a 10.5-point favorite.
Damn. Devon Godshaw is going to be pissed when he sees that.
Yeah, that was disrespect. That was just, we'd run for a brick wall for you. The Niners are getting a little bit healthier. Purdy, though, has been on the injured list as well. Now, they did have a tough game against Minnesota, but B-Flo's defenses have been confounding teams all season long. They may be a little better than advertised. Is it an anomalous bed crapping last week against the Rams when they went to sleep in the second half? We all know how bad Shanahan is at managing leads in any game, let alone the big game. So, they are the more talented team. You'll deal with Jennings. You'll deal with Ayuk. You'll deal with Kittle. And the Mason kid ain't half bad either. So I'm going to say the Patriots take the fight to the Niners. Hang in there. I'm going to go cover and under. Give me Niners. I'll go with the Niners 23, Patriots 16. A game we feel good-ish about, but they don't pull off the shocker. What do you got, Hot?
Yeah, I will not do what the delusional Patriots fan tells me to do and take the 10.5. I will lay the 10.5. I think the 49ers, healthy or hurt, are the far better football team at home, better quarterback. Their games have basically been, there's been a lot of offense kind of in their games. Like Mm-hmm. Purdy has a passer rating like 110 for the year. Opponents' quarterbacks are like 102. Like
they don't have a good. Their safeties are good. Their corner, like Tre'Davious Ward's good. But
the problem with that is
what?
Can the Patriots take advantage of that, or is Bosa going to ruin their day? Are they ready to throw the ball? And everybody will say no Debo, no McCaffrey. Well, it wouldn't stun me if this is Brandon Ayuk's breakout game. He hasn't had a great start to the season, and he turned down the Patriots. So I don't know that there's animosity, but there's just like
a revenge game, bro.
I don't think revenge is the word, but there's a connection from the offseason, so it wouldn't stun me. But also, the Jennings kid blew up last week.
He's
so
good.
Mason has taken advantage of his opportunities. He's averaging 4+ per carry. So do I think the Patriots will run the ball a little bit? Yes, because that's who they are. And if they don't, then it's a debacle again, and that'll just fall apart. But you mentioned Kittle. If Kittle's healthy, the middle of the Patriots defense has not been good at all with Captain Duggar and Captain Peppers and whoever else is in the middle of that mess.
And the rest of the Lonely Hearts Club Band.
And that was good. And the pass defense for the Patriots hasn't been good enough when it needs to be good enough. Purdy doesn't make a ton of mistakes. I don't know what I sell myself on other than 49ers turnovers. I will say, Patriots defense is due for some turnovers because they haven't had any. And maybe Gonzalez is due for a pick because he's been good at cornerback. Not as good as his promoters think. Not as bad as PFF thinks.
He's also on the injury report with a shoulder issue, which is a little early for me. But
be fine. Oh, you're turning on him too, Mr. Negativity.
Anyway,
thank you for the congrats on the weight loss, Alec Thornton. By the way, just got back from my monthly visit to Awaken 180 weight loss.
How'd it go?
It was good. Down a pound, just in maintenance, doing nothing. Slight uptick in the body fat of 0.6%, but nothing I'm worried about. That could be related to the many, 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 many Miller Lights I've had over the course of the last couple months.
It happens. The Gansets aren't doing me any favors, but I love them. It so happens.
No, I would not take drugs. I'm not a cheater. Get the out of here.
Are you on Prozempic?
No. So my score, 27 49ers. 9 Patriots. It's a sly guy kind of day in the Bay Area. He gets his 3 field goals, and that's all the Patriots have to say.
We're talking spreads. Let's get Dakota so we know.
Shots fired at friend of show Dakota and Braintree. All right.
Swing juice. He's got some swing juice for you.
He does have a little swing juice. All right. So you got Niners 27, Patriots 9. It's a sly guy type of day. Okay. I mean, last question before we move on with the pod here. How does that feel any better than 24-3?
Oh, the score isn't necessarily, like you said it, the Patriots really lost 48-3. Yeah. The score said 24-3, which whatever the hell it was.
It felt like 41-3.
They played like piss. Absolute dehydrated, yellow in the toilet overnight. You should have flushed it 2 days ago. Piss. That's how they played. And you can lose 27-9 and not play like piss. You can just be the worst team.
Geez, even my kidneys hurt thinking about that. No, we cannot just start Joe Milton, everybody. And no. Could you imagine if the Patriots actually did, as some have suggested, like even our pal Andrew Callahan said on NBC Sports Boston, start Milton and preserve May if you're that nervous and anxious about getting the asset and future under center killed? Come on, people.
Just put in Drake May. Drake May will play against the Dolphins. Thank God we can have some fun. And I apologized because I feel bad saying that to Jacoby Brissett because I think the guy's played his ass off. He is who he is. This team is what it is. And the situation is what it is. Like it's no shot at him. Now I wouldn't personally keep saying I always get up. I feel like that's a bad karma thing to throw out there. It's like tempting the football gods, but he does always get up and I credit him for that. I think he's been a good leader. I think he's taken the, physical beating on the field. I think he's taken some of the slings and arrows off the field and answered for a bad line with, professionalism and respect. But we're just about on the cusp of Mayday, Mayday.
I think Mayday shall soon be at hand as well. All right, coming up, folks. And if this is the kind of podcast where you want to tune into our portion, put it down, then resume, listen to the next one in the car, when you go for a walk, whatever, and then Mego's chat. We give you 3 fabulous segments and 1 awesome preview here on 6 Rings and Football Things. All right, that'll do for our preview portion, the preview and predictions from Fitzy and Hat. Once again, you can listen to him on the afternoon shows 2 to 6 every day on WEEI. He's at Jumbo Heart. And you'll find me on the postgame show as well as, because it being a road game, we will have our live unfiltered halftime show full of you filthy Foxborough faithful on Sunday as well. Make sure you don't miss that across the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials. For Art, for Fitzy, for Terp, everyone involved in this mess, this has been the preview and prediction portion of Six Rings and Football Things. Now, please, everybody, stay tuned. Coming up, my chat with Al Sacco from the 49ers Web Zone, and then Mego goes on the beat with Mark Daniels from Mass Live. Take care, everyone, and go Pats.